Ladies and gentlemen, please introduce our first speaker, Klaus Ibsen, talking about Apache Camel. Welcome the speaker.
Oh, you are too modest. Okay, so yes, I'm Klaus Ibsen, and I'm really pleased to be here. This is my first visit to ApacheCon, and also civilian. I'm a software engineer. I've been working as a full-time Camel committer for a lot of years. I wrote a book on Camel, and currently writing the second edition of that book, which is to be published in spring, summer next year. So, how many people here already know Camel, use Camel? 1, 2, 3, 4. 40% or so, that's good. Almost 100%, so the mission is not complete yet. So for you guys that are new to Camel, you're definitely in the right room because there are going to be multiple talks today about Apache Camel, not only from me, but also there's actually a real end user of Camel that is giving a talk. So let's start from the beginning. What is Camel? So to learn something about a new product, it's a good idea to go to their product website and read what they say what it is. So if you go to the Camel website, we say that Camel is an integration framework based on enterprise integration patterns. Those two facts. So what is integration framework? I kind of like to picture integration framework as a toolbox which has ready-made tools for you to use to help with your integration needs. So you as a developer should not need to write low-level code how to connect to message brokers, how to upload files to FTP servers and all that kind of things. Those are ready-made tools that comes out of the box from Apache Camel that allows you to work at a higher level to focus on your business problems. So then there was the other fact. Enterprise integration patterns. Anyone know about those? Well, it's in fact a book with that same title. So this is an American book. So it's a very thick book, 800 pages or so. So what happens was that the authors of the book, Gregor Hobby and Bobby Wolf, were consultants that went around to different clients and helped them with integration. So what they saw was the same problems occurring over and over again. But as a good consultant, they took notes about these problems and also how to solve them, you know, so they could reuse them the next time. And after a while, they had so many notes that the idea of why not try to make that into a book? And so that's where the book came out. So in this book, we have solution for common integration problems, which is known as enterprise integration patterns. The book also comes with a graphical notation of these patterns and vocabulary that allows us to talk about enterprise integration patterns using the same words, so architects and developers and so on has a common language. In this book, there are patterns how to as the content-based router, so you can route messages based on the content, you can filter messages, you can route messages dynamically, you can send messages to a number of recipients, you can split and aggregate and so on and so on. The book has 65 patterns. Okay, but that's a book, but what about Apache Camel? That's a software integration library. So we have a book and we have Apache Camel. So what I would like to do is for the next couple of minutes to talk about how you can go about using enterprise integration patterns and apply that to software and see where Camel comes into the picture. And for that, we're going to use an example. So let's keep it very simple. So we have an order system where new orders come in, and then we need to route these order depending whether it's a widget order or gadget order. So if we go and look inside the enterprise integration patterns book, there's a solution for that. There's a pattern for that called the content-based router. So we can draw that on a whiteboard, okay? But what we would like to do as well is to write down using English words the solution. So what we can do now is say, from new order, then we need to make a choice. When is widget to widget, otherwise to gadget, okay? Then we just add some parentheses, you know. Well, yeah, we do that. Then we add some dots and a semicolon at the end, okay? Yeah. Lovely. Then there's something in the blue. What is that? What is new order? What is widget? And so on. So we can try to specify that. So new order, that's an endpoint where the incoming orders are coming in. And in this example, we can say, OK, the order come from a message broker called Apache Actium Queue on a queue called new order. OK? Then we need to figure out if the message is a widget or not. And this example is rather old, so it's XML-based. So we can look inside the XML message using an XML language called XPart to determine if that order is a widget or not. Then we need to route that message to different endpoints, and let's just use the same broker as the destination for that. So we put it on different queues on the broker, a widget queue and a gadget queue. Okay, I guess developers have seen something like this before. It's a common language. What is this and where does camel fit in? So what we've been reading on the slides here using English words is Java code. So Java code should be in a method. So we put all that code and put it inside the method and we call it configure. Okay? Then the method should be in a class. So we put that inside a class called myRoute that extends RouteBuilder. So RouteBuilder, what is that? That is a class from Apache Camel that allows end users to define routes in the configure method. So what we have here on the slide is actual code you can compile and run with Camel. The only thing you need to do is to configure, for example, the ActiveMQ message broker, which are the brokers you need to connect to. Is it an embedded broker inside the same JVM, or is it a remote broker? But you, as a developer, could allow you to abstract away all the low-level details. There's no code you write here to connect to ActiveMQ. There's no code here you write how to do an XPart predicate, or how to send messages to the broker, and so on. All that is abstracted away at low-level details, allowed us to focus at the higher level. The code down here is at a very high level. What is common to do with Camel is to inline those endpoints and predicates and so on inside the route. So from Camel point of view, this code is similar to what was going on here. At runtime, it's the same. So this is a pretty high-level abstraction. You can take this code and maybe show to someone who is not a developer, and that person, he or she, will have some sort of clue what might go on because the DSL is of a high-level abstraction. That's a very powerful feature of Apache Camel, that you can go about using these DSL with the enterprise integration patterns. You can also not use Java code. You can define the same routes in XML. What you can do with Java, Camel can also do in XML. There's no limitation on either one. So this is also the same thing. You define a route, you say from, and make a choice, and when, and next part, and so on, and so on. Now, Camel endpoints are very easy to configure. Those are URIs. So instead of consuming message from a message broker, ActiveMQ, let's suppose you need to pick up the message from a file system. So all you need to do is configure that I want to use the file component, and then this, what directory to pick up the files from. Now, each of these Camel endpoints can be configured, and they are component specific. So the file component has a number of options, the ActiveMQ component has a number of options, so on. So for example, with the files, you can configure it to delete the file. So what will happen is that after that file has been processed by this Camel route at the end, you can tell it, okay, now delete the file. I've already consumed it. Or if you don't need to delete the file, you can move it or something like that. Those are all components that offers a lot of options in Camel. Now, if I told you, instead of using the file component, you need to pick up the files from an FTP server, that wouldn't be too hard for Camel Java developers that are new to Camel to figure out, because Camel has an FTP component. You go in and find that documentation and figure out, okay, I need to configure maybe the username and the password and maybe the directory where to pick up the files from the FTP server, and that's all you need to do. Camel is just Java code. There's no magic intermediate language underneath. So you get all the powers from your Java editors at your disposal when you write camel routes and so on. Just use control space and you get this code completion from IDEA, Eclipse, and NetBeans and so on. The same in XML. There's a schema behind it. So your XML editor or Java editor usually also be able to pick that up and show it to you. And all these enterprise panel and so on has documentation inside that, so the tool can show that as well. So what is the Camel architecture? So this is a very good diagram to show that, sort of like a 10,000 feet diagram. So in the center you have Camel context. So Camel context is Camel. It's the runtime Camel. So the idea with the Camel context is that you have a Camel context, then you can add routes to it. 1, 2, 3, you can have as many routes you want. Then in these routes, you can use these enterprise integration patterns. You can call custom Java beans and validation and written and so on and so on. And then to speak to the outside world, you use Camel components, like we showed before with XMQ and file and FTP and so on. And that's basically Camel. So let's go to the bar. Okay, of course there's more to it. Jesus. Okay, there's still 80 slides, so sorry. But the high-level diagram, to know what Camel is, that's the guy. So, components. So, there's a shitload of components. No, this is not video recorded. So, when I did the first talks about Camel, we used to have a table in the slides with the components. We could have one slide with 30-some components, but now, okay, so we have about 200 and some, and of course the slides here get a bit out of date, and especially if you add a new component in between, let's say there's a new component here, then you need to shuffle all those for the next slides and so on. But, so, why are there so many components? Is it me that wrote all of them? Of course not. This is Apache. Community over code. So there's a lot of great community about Apache, and Apache Camel has a lot of community people that contribute and build Camel components. So building a Camel component is actually easy, and people do that, and especially the good people that are allowed to do that and tell their managers and the company, this is a very good component, instead of keeping it internally in the company, why not try to give it to Apache Software Foundation so they can get it out of the box. And we were very welcome, and we said, thank you very much. And if you need to write a custom component that's not from Camel, but it's similar to one of the other ones, take a look at that one to see how that's implemented, and then be inspired how you can do something similar. So, what is Camel for? Pictures. This is a good one. So, integration framework, the toolbox, you know, all of the out-of-the-box tools. Then you have this book, this big American book. That is 10 years ago, but then there's a smaller book. And the author is in back, Bilkin. Thank you very much. So, of course, Camel is, I wouldn't say old project, but it's very good and long-running project. So when this book came out, then the world has changed, right? There's a lot of happening in 10 years. So what Bilkin did was to write a mini book with an extra pattern that is very good to know since the first book came out. So this is very highly recommended book. So we have these two books, and now you're ready. Then we can define camel routes on the architect or with the patterns or in the code and whatnot. You can use all these camel components, and then you have a lovely camel. So that's a camel, of course it is. So a few numbers from Apache Camel itself. Now it's fairly easy to find some numbers because you can go to GitHub and there's kind of shoulder on the front page. So the product was created in 2007. The first commit is from March 2007. So 4-5 months is 10 years old. Awesome is that. And it's still maintained and active and getting better and better. We recently got more than 1,000 stars on GitHub. If you use Camel and like it, please, a little star, that's good. I personally do that to other products I use. We have more than 100 releases, more than 25,000 commits, 253 contributors. Those are the only ones that are GitHub registers. Camel was created before GitHub, so in the older days, people were contributing to Camel as a patch file, and so we have more than those people because GitHub cannot recognize those. And all the pull requests we receive are from contributors outside, usually. So we have like 1,200 and some pull requests from people that are contributing, not the Apache Camel committers itself. So, but how do we run Camel? So let's go with a very simple little example. This is sort of the hello world of integration. It's not so sexy like, you know, web development and mobile and whatnot. So in integration, it's usually under the table, you know, just get some data from A to B. So what we do is to copy a file. Yes, that was hard to do 10 years ago, but today is probably much easier. But still, a Java main class. So what you do is create a Camel context. That is Camel. Then you add routes to it. And here you can inline a route builder class just to have it in the same class. But of course, you can refer to another class. Then you have the configure method. That's where you define your Camel routes. So all you say is just from file inbox to file outbox. Then you start Camel. But the start method is a non-blocking method. So you need somehow to keep that JVM running. And here we just run it for 60 seconds and stop it. But if you want to still want to use a main class to run Camel, we provide a main class that is keep the JVM running using the run method. But there are other ways of running Camel, which I'm going to show later. Okay, so there's no Camel has no, let's say, application server dependencies. It's just a Java library, so you can run it any JVM. So if you want to try Camel yourself, Camel is one of those products that actually has a box, as if you got a CD with some software. And you can click a download, and you know it uses the Apache mirrors to download it. You can unzip or untie it. And we have some examples in the examples directory. Very simple one is to read something from command line, uppercase it, and stream it out. So let's just quickly try that one. Here I have the Camel example console. I can run it using Maven Camel run. And it runs that one. And it boots up. I need a little faster computer. Hello. You. It's hola. You see down here in Spain. And of course, you know, uppercase that. That's not too hard, right? But I just want to show you a bit. There's a tool called Hot.io that can look inside running JVMs, and it has a plugin for Camel, so you can actually see a runtime Camel. So what I'm going to do here is to boot up Hot.io in another JVM. So I have Camel running in one JVM, Hot.io in another one. Then I can use Hot.io to look inside the other JVM. And here is looking what Java JVMs I am running on my own laptop. And it detected Apache Camel is running. I can click this button, and then I can connect to it. So now I'm looking inside that console application. So here you can see Camel has been running for 57 seconds. There has been two completed messages in Camel because I'm typing it twice. If I go back here and type something, it should go back and say, now it's 4, right? And I can click on the route diagram, and Camel, this tool can visualize the Camel routes. Unfortunately, there's a little bug, so this one got a bit stuck. But you can do that for any kind of Java Camel application running as JVM and kind of see that visually. And it can show you the camel route as XML. And if you are a good or bad developer, you can actually change this at runtime. So let me just say to lowercase and update. This is something you should always do in production, right? Your manager will love you that. And just, especially on a Friday. So let's see. And there's a bug first time, so it doesn't execute the first time, but lowercase, right. Yeah, okay. But so there's one thing I want to say. This is not the source code from the product, right? It is actually a representation of the JVM at runtime. When you run a JVM, that JVM cannot magically give you the source code back. But what Camel can do at runtime is to say, okay, I have these routes, and I can give you a representation of those routes as XML. But it doesn't matter how you build those routes. You can use Java code, or XML, or Groovy, or Scala, or something else. But at runtime, all those DSL become the same model inside Camel, and you can tell Camel at runtime, show me those as XML, and that's what we see here. And then you can also give it back XML, and it can build those routes again. And that's why I could change that code at runtime. But that's also a powerful feature of Camel, because that allows Camel tooling to be able to better understand what's going on. Okay, so let's go back to the slides. Play. Yeah, Hodeo. Now, something that's also very popular recently is to get started with new products he's using. For example, Spring Boot, they have a website, StartSpring.io or something. And Camel is also part of that, so you can type Camel here and find it and generate a zip file. You can get started immediately using Spring Boot and Camel. Camel has great integration with Spring Boot. Camel provides all the Camel components are part of the Spring Starter components. So they are out of the box Spring Boot friendly. They have Spring Boot auto configuration and so on and so on. So what you can do in Spring Boot, just add a component class with a route builder and build your Camel routes, and Spring Boot runs that. If you are into Java EE, I'm so old, I remember when it was called Java J2EE, and you know the people that are really into that spec, they'll say, this is not the real name. So, but if you, there's something called Wi-Fi Swarm, this is sort of like a stripped down J2E application server where you can just piecemeal what you want. And they also have like a Start Spring Boot website, it's called Wi-Fi Generator, and Camel is also part of that. But in when you use that, it uses CDI. Dependency injection, so the annotations are a bit different, but the same idea, it has camel route, just applications code, and so on and so on. Again, that's awesome. Camel doesn't care if you run it with Spring Boot, or CDI, or standalone, or Apache Tomcat, and so on and so on. It all works. There's another sister product at Apache called Apache Service Mix, which is an ESB that comes out of the box with Camel, so you can also download that, and it provides a number of examples Camel you can look at and try that as well. So Camel has this box, magic box with a CD inside, and if you buy it. So what's in that box? So inside the Camel box, there's all these enterprise patterns from that big book and also the good patterns from this book. So you get a lot of great value there. For example, let's take a look at one of the patterns, the splitter patterns. So if you need to pick up a file, split it line by line, each line converted somehow from a custom format to XML, and each line sent to a message queue. So if you go and use the Enterprise Integration Patterns book, you can find patterns for all these steps and draw it on the whiteboard. But how can you do that in Camel code? From file inbox, then I need to split. I want to split the message body, and you want to use a tokenizer on each new line, slash in. Okay. Then I need to marshal that custom format to XML. This is something you implement. Of course, Camel has a number of out-of-the-box data formats, we call it, but for message transformation that can go from CSV to XML and so on, some of the common ones. But you can also build your own. And then just to XUMQ on a Q call line. So four patterns up here, four lines of code. That's beautiful when it matches one-to-one. But not always. So inside this box, we have a lot of Camel components. In fact, I just did a count. We have something called a Camel catalog that includes a lot of information about this in the Camel release, all the components, data formats, language, and so on, and so on, and so on, that tooling can use, but also you guys. And there's a inside service mixer, Carafe, there's a Camel commands, and one is called Camel catalog component list. Then I do a word count on the lines, and it's at 219. Then there was the data format I talked about just briefly. So data format allows you to do a message transformation from well-known formats like XML and JSON and so on. So it's a two-way. You can go one with a Marshall and one Marshall. And we have 47 of those. So here is a common one to do with is XML to Java objects using JAXB standard. So what you do is annotate your project classes via JAXB, and then in the Camel route you can define a data format and define what are the package name for these project classes, and then you can use it to marshal on marshal in your Camel routes, for example. Camel allows you to use scripting language or other kind of language. For example, we used the XPath previous, but you can also use Spring Expression language, you can use Python, you can JavaScript and OGNL and Groovy, that Apache Groovy, yeah, we like that now. So that's a good thing. And there's one guy called Symbol. So Symbol is a Camel expression language that comes out of the box with Camel, and when it was created, it was very simple. So it was naming Symbol. And yeah, naming in IT is hard. One of the hardest problems we have. So, okay, what should it be named? Simple. Like Camel, you know, what should the product be named? Oh, let me take a cigarette and smoke a bit and then figure out what should I call this product? Oh, Camel. So, sometime, yeah. So, Symbol is the expression language that comes out of box with Camel. Now it's more powerful, so maybe it should be called Camel expression language. But Symbol comes inside of the box. So, here's how one you could use it. For example, I want to say, hi, I am, and then the host name of this, where you run it, hello, and then refer to some headers that come in with the name, how are you? So, you have these scrolly things you can use. Apache Groovy you can run inside Camel, for example, as a predicate. So suppose you have a list of books and with a price, so yeah, Camel action, XUMQ action, springing action. Then you want to see if the total of these books are more than 100. And you can use a Groovy expression to do that. So you say, message body, I want to do an amount. This is the get amount. I want to do a sum of all those. And this is the total, and this is total more than 100. So Groovy figures out doing all that kind of stuff. Groovy is awesome. Camel comes with a number of DSLs in that box. You've seen the Java DSL, there's the XML DSL, and there's also a Groovy DSL and a Scala DSL. The Groovy and Scala DSL are not so commonly used. Most people use just Java XML, and one of the reasons is that you know, Java is awesome, and there's also going to be Java 8 DSL, and also because Java and XML DSL are always in sync, because the XML DSL is derived from the Java DSL, is generated automatic, whereas for Scala and Groovy, we sometimes have to manually go in and add an enhancement. So I recommend just using Java XML, but if you're really a Scala guy, there's a DSL, but we would love for your help to come and make it better. So some people think Camel is just something you have to run on an application server, sort of like a server-side thing. No, Camel is just a Java library. So you can also use it sort of like a client thing. So you can send a Camel message to any Camel endpoint, any of those 219 components you can do. So for example, it's not maybe a normal use case anymore, but if you need to have a Java application, then you need to send some data to a FTP server. How do you do that? So you can go on the internet and find an FTP client and read how to use the client and write a lot of code, how to connect and blah, 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 blah. But you can also just use Camel. So I get somehow a Camel context or create it. Then you can use something, a producer template. Producer template allows you to send a message to any Camel endpoint in one line of code. So I have some byte array as data. This is the name I want to say. This file is going to be on the server. Then I say FTP, server name, port number, directory, username, and password. And then I say send body and header and pass in these parameters. And that's it. Now, in recent time, we have created a better producer template called Fluent Producer Template. Yeah, naming was hard. So you can say, I want to send to this URL with this message body, with this header, and send. That's it. So Camel comes with a number of test kits out of the box. This is one of the things that got my attention as well when I got started with Camel, that it was easy to start writing unit tests and test your Camel stuff. And we have for different environments with CDI and Spring and OSGI Blueprint and for Carafe and Service Mix. So here's an example of out of the box in Camel. You can extend this Camel test support class. You can inline your routes down here if you want, and you can have a test method with the JUnit test annotation. And what you can do here is to use a mock endpoint. Oh, sorry. A unit test is also very easy to way to get started running something. So you can use a sort of way of prototyping and run something because your Java editor can very easily just right-click and choose run or debug. So you don't need a main class and all that kind of thing. So what you can do is to use part of testing, it can be good to use mock endpoints sometimes. So you can say, okay, I have a mock endpoint and I expect to have a message that contained hello world. So I set up my expectations. Then I sent message to Camel, somehow got Camel started and triggered and whatnot. And then I assert that this happens. So this method will check all these preconditions here if everything is okay. But if something is wrong, it will fail, report an error. At runtime, Camel has a lot of information you can pick into using JMX. So you can get all kind of runtime statistics about how many messages have been processed, the average response time, the minimum and the maximum, and so on and so on. All at different levels. You can have it sort of like aggregated on Camel context for all the everything. You can have it every route, but also for each individual enterprise integration patterns. So it allows you to sort of top down and drill down and figure out if something, let's say, something is slow, and you can sort of figure out which of these enterprise patterns are the slow ones. It also allows you to manage your Camel application. You can start and stop routes and so on and so on. So there's a lot of JMX management. Another thing with Camel is that it's actually not so easy to have a sort of like a consistent or reliable Java runtime because, you know, when Camel start up and runs, you know, it processes messages, it gets messages in and out and so on. But how do you shut that down in a nice, graceful way without losing messages, but also keep, you know, those messages that are currently running, allow them to complete, but don't take in new messages. So there's a quite elaborate, graceful shutdown in Camel that ensures that this goes as best as it can. It's easier just to start up, but shutting down is harder. You don't want a lot of stack traces when you shut it down, right? There's also quite good Camel commands, especially for guys that are using Service Mix or Carafe. You can actually deploy Camel application in those containers, but also using the dir command to manage them. So you can list all the routes, you can start and stop them directly from the Carafe and Service Mesh shell. Also Spring Boot has a little shell, if people wasn't aware of that, but we also allow Camel those commands to run inside Spring Boot. And again, those commands are not magic. They are using the JMX management API under the covers. So what you can use for these commands, you can also do yourself using JMX. And the other tool I showed you with that web console is also using JMX. So all what is all what you see is that is possible in one of them is also possible in the other one. One thing Camel also provides is you can say a specialized DSL for REST service. So what we see is that Camel users of Camel want to, let's say, a an existing API using make it restless, right? So the mobile developers and those Angular 2 crazy web developers, they want a REST API. They don't want these old trusty APIs. So you have them in the legacy system, but you can put Camel in front of it and sort of face that with a nice REST DSL that, and then Camel does all the nasty things under the covers. So you can say, I have a REST with a concept about echo, and I have a get operation ping, and then you can inline a Camel route and so on. And bear with me, you can also do that in Java code, and this one is a different API where you can also describe your REST service in human description and also specify each of these patterns, what they are, and so on. And why are you doing that? Because you can actually let Camel generate a Swagger documentation from your REST service. And there's when we have a Swagger documentation, you can actually, there's a Swagger UI that allows you to browse your Swagger documentation where you can test them and try them and so on. It's quite good in UI. And we have that as out of the box with Camel, there's an example using that. So you can try that one, Camel example Swagger XML, boot it up and try that Swagger doc and so on. Okay, integration is not always just happy. You know, Murphy is living and what can go wrong will always go wrong, or what is that saying? But, you know, dealing with errors and especially also distributed systems is harder. So something can go wrong. So what can Camel help you with there? So in Java code, when something goes wrong, that typically is an exception being thrown somewhere. And how can you handle exception in Java code? You can use try-catch. So Camel has some similar feature. It's just called do try and do catch. So if something goes wrong in this block here, this catch block will accept it and send it to some error queue instead. Okay? So that's one way of doing it. But now you have sort of the happy part together with the error handling. So when you look at this code, you see, you know, it's maybe, you know, some people don't like that, understand that. So what you can do in Camel is also, you can say, okay, I just want to define an error handler, and I'm using a specialized error handler called dead letter channel. It's one of the patterns from that big book. So if any error happens, send that message to an error queue. And then continue. So if any error happened here, the error handler kicks in and send that message to the error queue. Now, you can also configure the error handler to say, okay, if an exception is happening, maybe try to retry that. We call it redeliver. So try to redeliver that error up till 5 times. And every time you do a redelivery, wait 5 seconds before. So it could be like a network issue or something like that. So maybe, you know, after a couple of times, it works again. And there's a lot of options you can configure on the error handler and so on. And you can also specify that if it's an IO exception, do this. If it's a null pointer exception, then do something else, right? So you can fully customize that. And at start, you know, try to keep it simple. And the more you learn and use Camel, then, you know, you can customize that and be more advanced, because error handling is takes a bit of time to understand how that works in Camel. There's also another popular pattern for dealing with errors, especially in the microservice kind of thing. So Netflix made it quite popular, something called a circuit breaker. And Netflix has created a product to implement that circuit breaker pattern called Hystrix. So in Camel, we have integrated that library, Netflix Hystrix, as an enterprise pattern, and we just name it Hystrix. So what here happens inside this block is execute as a Hystrix command. And Hystrix is manning all that kind of thing with the circuit breaker and so on. It's not Camel doing that. So you get the real deal. So it's Netflix Hystrix that's doing that. So if something goes wrong with calling that service, or whatever, you can do multiple things, then you can specify and fallback. So if something goes wrong here, it will just call the fallback and say, nobody wants to talk to me. And so on. And the Hystrix that comes, you can get a nice Hystrix dashboard so you can see all your circuit breakers using a Hystrix dashboard, what the state are and so on. And you know, you can get that out of the box. Camel has a number of Maven tooling you can use to create new Camel products. One thing, and these ones were sort of like the old days before we had this website like StartSpring.io or something, but you can still use these Maven archetypes. They're pretty good for creating new Camel products based on Java, Spring, and OSGI, and so on and so on. And so one of the Maven plugin we also have in Camel is that you can have this Camel Maven plugin that can run Camel standalone. This is what I used to create that console example where I was uppercasing stuff. I was just typing Maven Camel run, and this one boot up Camel. So it's a nice little command. But there's also another tool that we are working on. How many of the existing Camel users has been configuring Camel components and made an error in the UI, so when you run Camel, it will fail and tell you this is an unknown option? Okay, so this is actually can be a common thing to do with Camel because the UIs are just strings, so the compiler cannot detect that for you at runtime. It's just from the compiler point of view, you just define me a string. Okay, whatever you type in that, the compiler doesn't care. But when Camel passes that string, it cares and say, Jesus, I don't know this option. And it will just say, boom, right, and say, this is an unknown option. But what we would like to do is be able to get those while you code, right? So what we're doing is to create a little Maven plugin that can sort of detect that and report it. So what I have here is another product that I'm going to run. So in Maven, you may not know it, but you can actually run any Maven plugin using a long syntax. You can type the entire group ID, artifact ID, the version, and the goal. So this is what I've done here. IO fabricate, fork fabricate, camel Maven plugin, version 2.3.5.2, and the validate goal. So I type that one and execute. And now, it comes with a warning. And it had detected that WebSocket camel tweet send to all equals true, send to all unknown option. Did you mean send to all with a uppercase A? So all the camel options are case sensitive. So here I made a mistake, but using a lowercase A. And that tool has detected it and tell you a suggestion what it is. So I can go into the source code, it's here. And this is the guy down here. Let me just, so this is a very simple route with a Twitter, log, and WebSocket. I'm gonna run it in a while so you guys can see. But now I can maybe make another mistake. This is supposed to be a Boolean, so I type 555. And up here I type something else, a little mistake. And I can go back to this guy and run it again. Now, you can also your editors can, of course, also run your Maven goals inside the editor, so I don't need to switch back and forth, right? So if I can actually run it from here, over here that has a Maven inside a deer, and there's a validate goal here, I can right-click and choose run, and it comes down here in the bottom. But maybe you guys in the back can't see the bottom, so I will just switch back to this guy. And so now I get two errors. Now it detected that type poll xxx is a valid enum. An enum, that means that there's only x number of choices. And I can choose polling, direct, and event. Okay, and so on. The other one, it detected that send to all, oh, that's still an unknown option, so let me go and fix that guy. Send to all with a kappa A, and polling, that was supposed to be polling. Okay, now I've got the two of them at least fixed. I run it again. And now it's detected that send to all is supposed to be a Boolean value, but it gave me 444. That's not a Boolean, right? So what we would like to hope with this tooling is that we can get it integrated into the editors directly. So now you later on not suppose that this one can run in the background and then give you these curly errors and say, this is an error. Or maybe control space so you can get a list of options to use. So the Maven plugin is just the beginning. We would like to have deeper integrated with the tooling like IDEA and Eclipse and so on. And speaking of tooling, there's also a little tool called JBoss Forge, which you can install inside Eclipse, NetBeans and IDEA, and run that. There's a little plugin for Camel to edit endpoints using a typeset wizard. So instead of using the UI to type something, I can use this wizard and I can, you know, change something. So the logger name is going to be tweet 2. I'm going to use warning and next. And here I'm going to say multiline 1001, show properties, and finish. And what it does was to generate that line for you. The tooling type that URI for you. And you can run the tooling again to change it, and it can. And you can continue editing, and so on. Okay, 3 minutes, so let's continue. And there's a lot of more in the box which I haven't covered. There's all kind of stuff for threat management and security and transactions and debugging and interceptors and type converters. And you know, Camel is an almost 10 years old product, so there's a lot of stuff we added to it. Again, running Camel. It's just a library. You're not restricted to any kind of runtimes. You can run it anywhere you kind of like. And if you need more information on Camel, my blog, the Camel website. We do have something called articles. That's a lot of links for what other people are saying about Camel. You know, real Camel users, they write a blog or post an article or something, and we have a link collection for what they're saying. So we have a lot of links, also going back for many years, but maybe the newer ones are the good ones. You can find Camel videos on Vimeo and also on YouTube. There's actually quite a lot on YouTube. And if we want to tell somebody else what is Camel, and they can just read an article and read a cup of coffee, drink a cup of coffee, then this one is one of the best articles I've seen. Open source integration Apache Camel is posted on DZone. Unfortunately, we can't copyright and put that on the Camel website because it's DZone copyright. Okay, and you can contact me, and we got questions.
Okay. What about having the configuration outside the runtime? I mean, in some cases, you got this kind of routing information maybe in a database or something like that. Is it possible to have this configuration in Camel without developing yourself?
Yes. So the question is that the Camel routes, doesn't matter how you build them or create them. You can use Java code and XML or whatnot that comes out of the box with Camel. But if you can store that in a database, for example, in XML, And then you can load those XMLs from the database and add those at routes at runtime in CAML. In fact, the next talk, I think, believe, is they are using XML files, and all they do is copy those files into a magic directory of a service mix and boot up service mix, and it runs those CAML routes. There is not very much Java code they do. So we see some people actually using databases or GitHub repositories where, you know, it's just with GitHub, it gives you you have versioning and all that kind of things and diff and whatnot. But database, certainly. Not only for CAML routes, but also for configuration and so on. Stop. More questions?
Thanks again, the speaker.
Okay. I can talk a lot.
Yeah. Thanks again.
Okay.